Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott venture for the first time into Northern Rhone for the show as they try Pierre Gaillard's Saint Joseph Rouge. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Je m'appelle Scott, unlicensed taxi driver.
Did you just say your name was Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, we're in France, after all, so I have to put on a fake French accent.
It's very, very convincing, mind you.
Very convincing.
I thought you were French, yes. I am not French. But I do kiss that way. I do too.
Not the way you've been behaving. You're kissing butt and that's all.
What?
You're kissing butt and that's all. You're misbehaving.
Who, me? Or Rob the Wine Guy?
Rob the Wine Guy.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You're in time.
I didn't know. Wilford, did you know who he's talking about? I had no idea. It's strange. He just talks to himself half the time.
At least that way I know somebody's listening. All those voices in your head, you can't even listen to your own damn self.
You know that makes you crazy, right, Scott, when you talk to yourself?
Is that how that happened to you?
It happens to me, yes. I'm crazy.
Okay.
So, Rob the Wine Guy is perfectly sane.
Sure.
Yes.
As long as he gets that honey, love.
Oh. No. Yes, that's true.
That's what's playing on the radio right now.
Of course.
The honey, love. We love the honey, love.
We do, yes. Well, Becky, it's her favorite artist, R. Kelly. So
she hates R. Kelly.
No, she thinks he's great, and she thinks he morally is in line with her morals. Scott and I have spent the day, actually. We're coming to you later in the evening, not too late, but later in the evening. We have been gallivanting about, I believe, shopping for wine. Only made it to two shops because we spent so much damn time at them. But it was on a Sunday afternoon. We said, fuck it. Let's just go and drive and go to some wine shops. And we did. And at one of the wine shops, I acquired a bottle of wine, of course. But Scott, we acquired a lot of bottles of wine.
Wine shopping, bought a bottle of wine.
Strangely enough.
Shocking.
I didn't buy any at the first place. But actually, in the second place, the checkout guy goes, are you guys having a party? I went, no, we're just alcoholics. Yeah. So, what?
He didn't question that. I think he shook his head a little bit.
I don't know. I was like, if we were having a party, we're not inviting you. So just don't worry about that.
You were judging people.
True. Well, what I bought, and I'm very excited about this, I bought a wine from Northern Rhone. And it's a region, obviously, in Rhone, that Scott and I have talked about on multiple shows. Syrah, predominantly, is the grape of Northern Rhone, the red grape, right? But we've never really had anything from Northern Rhone, probably because we referred to the fact that they're not that affordable. Normally, they start off around $40 and go on up.
It seems like we did like a table wine, a Crow's Hermitage.
But we've done Gigondas. No, that Gigondas is Southern, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
We might have done a Crow's Hermitage. I think we have.
Like
a faux one.
Yeah, it was
one of the suspicious origins.
Lower,
very low
ABV and light body.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
It was something we couldn't find anything about.
But there is another AOC within Northern Rhone called Saint Joseph, and Saint Joseph, the grand. Let's just start off with the grand AOCs of Northern Rhone are Hermitage and Cote Rotte, right? Those are grand wines. You're not going to find one of those for under 90, for instance. I did see this producer's Cote Rotte for 74, and I almost bought it, honestly. But I wanted to try something from them before I would invest any type of money with them. This producer is Pierre Gaillard, okay? Pierre Gaillard is well-known in Northern Rhone, just not by us. This is the first time I've seen this product.
Big producer.
It is a big producer. It's just not. It's not on wine.com. So if it's not on wine.com and it's not in a lot of the shops, we were in a specialty shop that did have a good focus on Syrahs, they happen to have this line.
I think Binny's had some St. Joseph's.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Definitely Cote Rôti.
Well, that's the thing, though. St. Joseph isn't all that famous. I mean, it is famous, but it's not all that. In the United States, we don't go for it that much. I mean, we're either going to go for Gros Hermitage, or we're just going to go up and buy Hermitage, or we're going to buy Cote Rôti.
Now, if you're a Syrah drinker,
yeah,
both of you in the United States. No, I have a friend who his girlfriend likes Syrah.
I like Syrah.
She likes Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like Syrah, in theory, St. Joseph should be for you.
It should be, but normally we're going to buy domestic stuff that's less expensive. This, though, the cheapest I've ever seen St. Joseph is around 44, something like that. But this one came in at $29.99. I went, ah,
so why not?
We'll try that for $29.99. I'll buy that for a dollar. So I did. And tonight, we didn't even wait for it to rest. We just brought it downstairs, pulled it out of the box, opened it, and decanted it because we wanted to try it.
Well, Rob
we were very excited.
He's like a kid on Christmas.
This is a wine that I have some interest in. And this, so you know, this is 100% Syrah, as I said. 18 months on oak, but all used oak. So minimal oak intrusion, right? 20-year plus old vines. And it comes from the communes. And remember, in Rhone, it's in communes. So you have little sections of the area that are referred to as a commune, and they have different requirements and whatnot. And so when you have something from St. Joseph, you have it from the whole AOC. I don't know if you have commune-specific St. Joseph, but maybe you do. I don't think you probably do.
This is not labeled as such.
No. But this is from the, I don't even know why I told you this, because I can't pronounce them, but Chavanay. But Malévère and Syrahs, right? You don't know. You don't have a computer, do you?
I'm not reading what you're reading.
Scott doesn't have it. It is granite sands, though, so that's that.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. It's semi-volcanic, then, you know?
Yeah.
That's nice. But we're excited about this wine. The one thing, though, to remember about...
I'm so excited.
St. Joseph.
I just can't hide it.
St. Joseph and some of the lesser ones are what they make to drink. Well, you're waiting for Hermitage and or Cote Rôti to mature. So it is the lesser, but that doesn't mean it's not interesting.
It might mean that.
It might mean. It looks good, though.
Well, it's just this is not top shelf St. Joseph.
No, but then again, they're
what you'd expect when you hadn't seen it priced below $40 before.
Let's just rephrase this, though. But St. Joseph isn't top shelf.
Period.
This producer is less expensive than the other producers. So this isn't the Bola of Northern Rhone, mind you, or, you know, Ecco Domani. You want to slow down. It's a little bit better than that, you know. But
we hope.
What, Baron Gustier or a BG from, oh, yeah. That's, I mean, it's not that. It's a little more bespoke.
We hope.
But.
That's the second time you've used that word today.
I like that word. You know? I mean, you're not bespoke.
Well, no, I'm an A-spoke. I invested heavily in my bicycle, and I bought the A-spoke.
You're an A-something, that's for sure. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Pierre Gaillard St. Joseph, 2019 vintage, 100% Syrah. By the way, 15 months on oak, not 18. My mistake.
Wow. How dare you? That's a decent period of time.
Yeah.
Regardless of used oak or new oak, it's a decent period of time. Hopefully, it's got some influence on the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Off air, we were noting that as we're recording, Thread Count is being dropped tonight for release for your listening pleasure.
And or listening displeasure.
We would love for a listener feedback.
For what?
Should the wine guy apologize in writing to Joe Wagner?
I'll send him a picture of my dick.
Yes,
he might like that. I don't want to do that.
A handwritten apology on letterhead. From letterhead.
Yeah, he can go fuck himself. Yeah, no apologies.
I think this would be an interesting thing for you to comment on, folks.
Joe Wagner, I'm sorry that I thought your wine would be dog shit. In reality, it's not quite dog shit. It's still not very good. By the way, fuck you. How's that?
That's not exactly what I would call an apology.
Yeah, but I felt it. It felt real to me. How's that sound? I thought it was an apology. It felt like an apology to me. The fact that I would acknowledge him, it says something. It's progress. Quit making Eloan.
You're not really making
progress.
Man, he's
the dude that runs into a theater and yells fire. That's what Mayomi
no.
is. Then he runs the fuck back out. He made it and sold it and ran away from it. And now it's everywhere. You know? And it's like, what the fuck? He went into the woods and started a fire, then went home. Well, what happened?
No,
why is the fire?
That's
the same thing.
It's not the same
thing. It's morally equivalent. I don't know. It's terrible.
You're harsh.
So is this shit.
Very judgmental.
Then he met Eloan.
You know, that clerk checking us out at the Hills Market noted how judgmental you are.
Good.
Okay, I might have pointed that out to him.
Yes, I don't care. I also pointed out that you had great grandkids.
That's the gray hair, old. It's not.
It's true.
Yeah, well.
He was like 14, so when,
you know. It's just as obvious as you being judgmental is.
Well, could be. In the glass. This wine is dark.
It's definitely a first observation that it's a dark son of a bitch.
Well, it's rouge. What do you expect?
It's
dark.
Passes the look test of what a Syrah should be.
Mm-hmm. There's no translucence at all. I mean, there just isn't.
Just a deep, deep purple. Just deep.
Very deep.
Like a band.
Deep purple. Yeah.
It might have smoky waters.
On the nose is where I really like it. A peppery blackberry. With a little bit of plummy notes, too, in the background. But I like that peppery element to it.
And we should expect that.
Mm-hmm.
The Wine Folly talks about Syrah from Rhone Valley.
Do they?
And she says, many look to the northern Rhone regions of Côte Rôtie, Hermitage, and Carnasse for the ultimate expression of Syrah. Wines are bold with high tannin, savory olive, plum sauce, bacon fat flavor. Stock mm-hmm. up on Saint Joseph and Crow's Hermitage on good vintages for great values. In the glass, we should expect olive tapenade, plum sauce, black pepper, bacon fat, and dried herbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, the black pepper is definitely there.
And just another from the classifications for the Crews, which that's the category this is, correct? Grand Cru?
There's no Cru. That's Burgundy. And
just crew.
They don't have a crew level. It's all by AOC.
Okay. The eight crews for Northern Rhone mostly make Syrah. Two others focus on Viognier.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Perret does sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
So we should expect Syrah from Saint Joseph. And that's what we got. I thought you were going in.
Well, it's just a Blanc, but it's a Roussière and Roussienne and Viognier.
It's a really nice nose.
Yes, it is.
The black pepper.
Mm.
I'll give you like a sweet plum.
Mm-hmm.
Very subtle, though. The fruit is very subtle on this.
Mm-hmm.
trying to pick out the herbaceousness, which is there, but
it's there.
What is
It's more of a dried leaf, kind of rosemary type, dried herb, definitely. But it's a little bit muddled in that regard.
Yeah. Rosemary. Mm-hmm. I think it'd go more like thyme.
Yeah.
But it all blends together very well. The pepper. It's not like sharp, like you just ground peppercorn. It's not like that. It's more softer, almost towards a white pepper. It's not white pepper, but it's like a real soft black pepper, if there is such a thing, with the sweet plum and that little herby dried leaf. I called it thyme thing. It's really a nice nose.
Mm-hmm. I'm going in.
He couldn't wait. Oh, I'm getting something else in the nose. Just a brief kiss of licorice. Black licorice. Anise, mate. No, black licorice.
Unabashedly Syrah. Oh. This has...
If you love American Syrahs, you're going to like this if you can find it. This is one of the more tannic...
Yeah.
French single varietals I think we've ever had.
This has a little more nuance than a lot of the American...
Oh, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But the tannic...
Yeah, the tannin structure is similar.
The tannin structure is, and it really is a wonderful attribute for domestic Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
You, even the crappy ones have good tannic backbones. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm surprised, honestly, the level of tannins in this.
Oh, yeah. The finish also, this is a 45 second plus wine, and the finish kind of goes, and then it just kind of mellows out into this little bit of a... quasi cayenne kind of mellow tone, and it's very interesting.
The bacon fat is so prominent.
But you know, the thing I like about this wine, the fruit structure is so interesting, you know?
I'm sure later in the episode you'll pull out one of the cast of characters that live in your head. And I'll be more shocked by that. But I, you know, when you said what you found so interesting, I didn't expect it to be the fruit profile of this wine.
Well, it's not like it's jammy or big, but there's just like that, once again, the plumminess.
Yeah.
Is so, and then there's even just a little bit of blackjack licorice just way in the back. And then it kind of matriculates down and you just get a little bit of raisin. You can taste that this has.
I like it.
2-3 years beyond, you know, a little bit longer. It has a little bit of age to it in a nice way. I think that mellows it out. It might have been a little bit too hard and heavy right out the gate.
And it's the grapier side of raisin.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's not the dried up raisin side of raisin. It's the grapier side of raisin. If you've ever had a raisin that is more like or is 50-50 grape raisin,
yeah.
Tastes a lot like a grape. That's what this has. But I wouldn't call this a grapey or a jammy flavor. It's just a nice little kiss of raisin with that sweet plum. They kind of play off each other a little bit.
But also, at the same time, there's a menagerie of minerality that's just kind of exploding left and right and to and fro. You know, there's even almost, it almost gets to the point where it's a little bit meaty. A little dried meat.
Fair.
I mean, some beautiful things. It just needs a kiss of violet, but this is the wrong appellation for that. You'd have to go to, I think, Coronas for that.
And so what's cool about this wine, you've got this kiss of bacon fat. That's not where the meatiness comes in. That bacon fat kind of layers the mid-palate, into the mid-palate through to the finish. Mm. And that meatiness, that little kiss of minerality really... kind of sort of appears in the front palate and is into the mid palate, but it's kind of kind of appears in the front palate with that. I don't know that I'd go full on plum sauce.
No, no.
But sweet plum. Nice. Just a nice plum type flavor.
Well, this time it's also not just the fleshiness of a plum. There's a bit of the plum flavor.
Yeah. Almost none of the fleshiness of a plum.
I still have that mouthfeel, a little bit of the fleshiness, but there's so much else going on in a textural standpoint that you have to really kind of stop and really think about it to really experience it. And you're not really worried about that. That's not really the feature of the wine. You're just like, oh, okay. It's more the flavor. You're like, oh. And then, you know, boom, bam, boom, boom. Hit all over left and right. One thing about this wine, though, if you're a novice wine drinker, you won't like this wine. You won't. You won't. That's what thread counts for.
Easy.
Sorry, it's what it's for.
Easy, listeners. Is he being harsh on Joe Wagner? We want to hear your feedback.
No, I'm being
Should
harsh on
Rob
Wagner.
The wine guy. Draft a letter that's drafted by our listeners telling them to apologize to Joe Wagner. If you're for yes, we want to hear from you.
Dear buttfuck, I am sorry that I offended you in your elbow-patched coats that you wear everywhere in every picture. You look like you're a husky lad.
It's interesting.
You probably need to shave your back. Go fuck yourself.
There's two people in this room. One of them has an elbow-patched jacket. It's a nice suit jacket.
I don't have an elbow-patched jacket. That's not an elbow-patched jacket.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's corduroy, but it does not have the patches on the elbows.
You got rid of that one, didn't you?
Never had one.
Don't believe him. Don't believe him.
Oh, whatever. You were wearing a full wool dress coat today where we were going around. I mean, it was full length down
it's
to your overcoat. Ankles.
It's my wool overcoat.
The hell
overcoat.
Are you overcoating? Don't you have a more...
Three wool overcoats.
It was like 50 degrees.
Nope, not when we left.
Oh, okay, it was 48 degrees.
It was not.
And you're just wearing a sports attire underneath it. I mean, it's like, what are you doing, man?
I grabbed it.
It's like you're a homeless man that got the coat from the, you know, from the Goodwill, and that's all you got. I have one of those. I don't wear it with a suit. Not like that.
That's been my winter coat du jour for the last 6 weeks.
Don't you have another coat?
I have too many coats to count.
Well, then why didn't you wear one of those?
Because this was out, and I like it. Plus, I like the scarf.
God, this is just too much.
A purple, black, green, white striped scarf with tassels. Very nice. Very nice long scarf.
I was wearing a wine vault coat.
Yeah.
The wine vault coat with the embroidered wine vault on it. Scott does not have that because he doesn't have spirit, and he doesn't want to hear it.
Well, you were going to give me one, but then you decided I couldn't have it because it's a woman's coat.
No, it's right behind you. You can wear it if you'd like.
You said I couldn't. It was Becky's. I don't want to take Becky's coat.
It's not Becky's coat.
That's what you said.
I mean, you can wear it if it'll fit you.
You said it was a gift for Becky.
You have to smear Vaseline over your body to put it on.
Assuming that I haven't already done that.
Well, I know, I'm sure you have.
Off-brand. Off-brand.
Off-brand. It's just called jelly.
Well,
it's just jelly.
No, petroleum jelly.
Well, they just assume you know that.
From the Save-A-Lot.
It says jelly, in parentheses, do not eat. It says that. That's what you put on your body.
No. It's the Save-A-Lot. There's that label brand.
You just
the Save-A-Lot.
You smeared KY jelly all over your body, didn't you?
No. I bought the high end.
Astroglide.
The high end.
You're covered in Astroglide.
Petroleum. No, that dries up. Yeah. I bought the high-end petroleum jelly, but they misspell petroleum on the jelly.
Oh, it's from Russia or China?
No, it's actually made in the USA, just in a place where they employ people like the Southern Man, like in a zoo job.
I understand.
Taking care of the dragons.
I understand you wanted to besmirch me earlier this week, and Scott wanted to say I got attacked by Komodo dragons. I don't understand. It was some sort of story where a Komodo dragon bit a man that worked at a zoo. Scott thought it'd be a funny premise if I got bit by a Komodo dragon at a zoo.
You should get bit by a Komodo dragon at a zoo.
Well, I don't work. That's the point. It's a Southern man. I get government checks, Scott. I mean, you pay me.
I thought in Arkansas they were making you have a job to get that government check now.
That's why I live in Alabama.
Oh.
You can move back and forth, Scott.
Back and forth?
I live in the state of Texarkana.
Texarkana.
That's right. Maybe I move to Florida.
But it made
burn
me
books.
It made me think of you when you were doing that bouncing job.
Bouncing job.
Yeah, you were a bouncer.
I was not.
But you were breaking up a fight between Komodo dragons.
That's very funny, Scott.
Well,
it was fun.
The Southern Man, that would be something that could happen to him. It's certainly something that should happen to him.
Why would I work at a zoo, Scott?
You belong in a zoo, that's for sure.
Well, you
belong in a zoo, Southern Man.
What did
man.
The Southern Man ever do to you? I mean, what did you say? I don't know what happened to you, because you've done some just dirty things. But
dirty things.
That has nothing to do with the Southern Man.
Dirty things.
Dirty.
The Southern Man calling anything I've done in my life dirty is a bit ironical.
I've never been to Tijuana. Wilfred has told me quite a bit about you, Scott.
Wilfred would even find what you're saying less than compelling.
What? No, Scott is a derelict of the 50th degree. That's not even a thing. I just made it up for Scott because he's the worst of the worst, folks. I mean, if you want to talk about a pervert, that's Scott. It's just awful. Oh, my God.
Not the Southern Man?
Southern Man.
Not the Southern Man?
No. He's very boring, Scott.
Well, that's only with you.
I mean, I'm sure he... I mean, I'm
sure... You have different standards of what's boring and what's exciting.
Assuming that
I could understand that the Southern Man is less than fulfilling of your necessary activities for excitement. I could understand why you would call him boring.
Well, I don't know if the Southern Man knows how to use a computer, but if he does...
Computer?
I'm not looking at his hard drive. That's all I'm saying. In many ways. Literally, on his computer. I'm not going to look at that.
His computer.
And B, I'm not going to look at his dick either. No. It's not going to happen. I know you have fantasies about this. You're like fan fiction. You probably draw a picture of me with the Southern Man in the act of sexual congress, and it's just not going to happen. Yes.
Congress?
And you probably put tentacles on me, too, because you're an anime freak. Scott's really into anime, folks.
Sure.
Anime porn involving octopuses. It's weird. He's also really a big fan of horse cock. So, you know,
horse cock.
Big dicks. Yes.
Wilfred, what do you think of
what?
A senator named Menendez?
Menendez?
Yes.
And who's Menendez? Bob Menendez?
Yes.
He's New Jersey, isn't he?
I think so.
I think he's on the take, isn't he?
Something like that. He and his wife in trouble.
Why would I care?
Well, because, you know, you've been working lately for... That Matt Gaetz guy, you know.
No. I just stalk him. Him and his raccoon skin cap hair. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I've never seen a man that killed a live beaver and then just stuck it on his head and acted like no one would tell.
Well,
it's like, that's the 10 times the tail falls down. He tries to slick the tail back so it looks all sheen and shit, but... Sometimes the flap will ping, and then you'll have to push it back. It's almost like a Looney Tunes cartoon when that happens.
It is like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Speaking of Looney Tunes cartoons,
yes.
What about the person that's running for president that has red orange hair that looks like it came off of a cat?
Well, Trump, I mean, he might have skinned a cat. I mean, he could take a cat and spin it by its tail. And, you know, I think a lot of Trump fans would be like, that's fantastic. They would think it's great. Even the Trump, I don't think, would a Trump fan be a cat lover? I don't think so.
No, probably not.
They're into cockfighting. That's one thing.
Well.
You know, they're into that. What else are they into? Their sister. Into that.
Oh.
Maybe. Oh. Cousin. Could be.
Could be.
First. Second's too distant.
It's too distant.
Yeah. You're so far away.
Doesn't anybody come
screw
in
their
one
own
place
sister anymore?
It could be so fine for you to knock on my bedroom door.
But you just walk away, so I call you a filthy whore. Oh, sorry. The song took a dark turn there.
Oh, that part of it took a dark turn.
You would talk bad about your sister if she did that. I don't know what that is, but if she was involved in that song in any way, shape, or form, that'd be bad.
On karaoke?
That's not a Scott, that's not a real song. We just made that up, but you could, like, put that in a karaoke machine. Well, Scott one time talked about his big dick, which he doesn't have one, in front of a little girl, and it scared her.
That was a song about a record.
Oh, yes. Your big 10-inch, yes.
Big 10-inch record.
Yes. As soon as you, yeah. Well, the girl didn't know that, so. Yeah. And she was like 8. It was very inappropriate. Yeah. And you knew she was there, too.
No, I'm not responsible for a parent taking their child into a bar.
It wasn't a bar. It was a restaurant, Scott.
It was a upstairs bar.
It was a restaurant.
It was an upstairs bar.
It was restaurant.
Listen, they don't do karaoke in restaurants. They do karaoke in bars.
Scott, that restaurant closed down a long time ago, so they found out why you don't do karaoke in restaurants.
Lord.
I mean, they did. You just, because it's stupid.
It was their busiest night of the history of the restaurant.
That's fair enough. True, but... it's actually, yeah, I like that restaurant quite a bit, but, you know.
This wine, though.
It hits the mark on so many ways. You know it's Syrah. It's St. Joseph. Yeah. Highly tannic wines.
Very.
Just hits the mark there. The descriptors that we read online and in the Wine Folly book about, you know, the bacon fat. Brilliant. We'd love that. I don't know that I agree with you that the regular red wine drinker wouldn't like this.
I said novice, not regular.
Oh, novice. Fair.
Don't you have, the regular wine drinker, I mean, it depends on what you like.
Well, I assume that you were being judgmental.
No. Novice wine drinkers aren't going to like this. This is just not. Novice wine drinkers aren't necessarily going to really like Syrah per se. But
I think a regular red wine drinker maybe is novice on Syrah. Maybe that's where I was going with this.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to try it.
Yes, because it is. I don't know, quintessential Syrah.
No,
but this is Syrah.
It's Syrah, and it's a
Syrah
good...
And you know it's... If you've drank Syrah and you enjoy Syrah, you know this is Syrah.
Well, I think it's important to understand the way different varietals are treated and come across in different regions. So if you drink Cabernet from California, you should know and should try how it's treated in Washington, how it's treated in France, how it's treated in Italy, how it's treated in Australia. Badly, but still, how it's treated there.
If you like
Napa. How it's treated in fucking Lebanon, how it's treated in fucking
South Africa,
Israel, yeah, all these different places. You should experience how it changes from different places. How it's treated in Spain, you know. Same thing goes with Pinot Noir. You should know and experience the differences between a French Burgundian style Pinot Noir and something from California or Oregon. Even Australia or New Zealand.
And that's the beauty of wine. You grow your palate. You grow your taste. But it's so easy to start with what you know and what you like.
Yeah.
And then just branch out from there. And so, again, parroting what Rob's saying, you like Syrah, try St. Joseph.
Yeah.
And there's not many people say, oh, I like to drink Syrah. But there are some people.
Well, as you go along down the path of wine drinking, eventually you're going to get to the point where you realize, oh, I like Syrah. Syrah's wonderful.
And the more you drink red wine, mm-hmm. the more, particularly that first time you have a decent Syrah, you'll go, oh.
Mm-hmm. It happens to everybody.
Oh.
I think my oh experience was when I first drank Tinsley in California. And that thing, I think I still have a bottle of it. Maybe we should have it on the show sometime. Was a triumph. I did not see it today. If I saw Tinsley today, I would have bought it. But I didn't see it. Tinsley, I love their Syrahs. But that was one. Actually, another one that I really enjoyed, maybe I had 6 months ago, and I still have a bottle of it, was Montez, their Alpha Series Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
That was wonderful. Wonderful wine. Becky loved it. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to drink Prosecco on Saturday night. So, you know, whatever. Hey, but so, you know, it's one of these things where it can be great also from different places. I mean, Chilean Syrahs are very, very nice. I mean, there's something to try. But it's definitely, this is a grape that does change. Not also by what country it's from, but where in that country. So, once again, if you do an Hermitage or Cote Rote. You're talking about a massively big powerhouse explosive wine. And if you did something from Coronas, which is another Northern Rhone, you're talking about a wonderful wine that's Syrah, but it also has a little more elegance and floral notes to it.
I'm trying to remember why I started collecting Syrahs, all the Kay Vintner series stuff.
That stuff is just kind of the powerhouse stuff.
It may have been just because of the scores, but I'm trying to remember that moment where I said, I'm going to start buying Syrah. I think it was probably a Syrah prominent French that we did.
Well, probably Michel Chapoutier's, his stuff, but because we had the Occlutum. Remember the Occlutum?
That probably is what got me going that.
Occlutum is one of those. That, though, is that's not Northern Rhone. Isn't that Languedoc? Maybe Languedoc. But it's still Syrah.
Right.
And no, maybe it is. Well, look it up. Michel Chapoutier's Occlutum. Well, you don't have a computer, do you? I will look it up.
That's a fun. Occlutum. Occlutum. In the meanwhile, just bust a move.
Occlutum Lapidum. Where is that from? That's Bille Haute, so it's the Bille Haute line is Languedoc, I do believe. Yeah, Languedoc Roussillon.
Mm-hmm. But Syrah based, yeah?
It's Syrah based, yeah. So it has Syrah and it has some Grenache and Carignan. But, right. But the Syrah is very, very prominent in that one. By the way, the Occlutum, if you find it, folks, just buy it.
It is.
Buy it.
I bought a Michel Chapoutier Châteauneuf du Pape at a discount today. It's probably possibly shaky because they were getting rid of it and it may have been stored upright too long, which can lead to some bad things with the cork. And it's just
put it in the body shop for a year and a half and then drink it.
Yeah,
pools. Don't even worry. Something like that.
It's gonna go longer.
Yeah, just
gonna go longer in a year.
Yeah, let it sit there for a couple years. Let that cork just get back to, and a good sturdy wine should come back to life a little bit.
Unless the oxygen got to it and it's just spent.
But you would have noticed a little bit of corkage aspect to that. I mean, that still is a fun buy. I should have bought it at 42. I shouldn't have told you.
Actually, show that one to me. Didn't you show me the shot?
Yes, I did. I pointed to it. Today, Scott and I bought a Montes Alpha Cabernet for $13.
Right.
Tuesday night wine. Well,
yeah. It's just nice to have a branched out appreciation for wines, regardless of how you get started with it.
Yep.
It's easiest to start with what you know.
True.
And say, let me try a South African Cabernet Sauvignon. And I'll tell you, folks, it's really what Rob went down the path of. It's a really good way of doing things. Whether it's Merlot, whether it's Cab, whatever, pick your white wine too.
If you haven't lived until you've had a, and this is strange to sound, as say, but folks, a Merlot from Italy.
Oh my God, the Cab Sauvignon from Italy.
Oh, they can be great.
It's really, really, as you would
Bordeaux
expect
style blends from soft. Bordeaux or Italy or California.
We went down the path the whole season of doing Bordeaux and some Rhone blends too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's all sorts of different things to. Yeah, and I think California really does a good job with Rhone blends, right? So, but compare those to the daddies. Compare those to the, you know, take some sort of like a Rhone Ranger. Like you just bought Bonnie Doon Cigar Velata, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Put that and then drink that back to back with a Cote de Rhone. You know?
Why not?
Yeah. See the differences. You know?
Fun. It was back to our journey. Fun day. We went in one shop, which has a great reputation in Columbus, and they do some interesting things. It's a restaurant, cash, food store shop, cash, meat shop, cash.
It's a whole thing. It's a big
deal. Deli, cash, prepared foods, cash, cash, all sorts of imported things for Italian-style food, bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And the wine shop. It's changed since I'd been there. It's more upscale stuff, and it's very Italian-centric, but what a great selection of Italian stuff. It is good selection. We were, quite frankly, we were a bit overwhelmed by it.
Well, I knew what to expect because I've been in there, but it's one of those things where, for me, though, I love French. I'm looking for French. Italian, I enjoy Italian, but I enjoy it on more of a transactional level where there's certain Italians I cling to. I love to buy, I like to zero in on Bordeaux style blends from Italy because I like Italy's take on that, but I'm not a Barolo or a Brunello fan. I don't buy Barolos. I have zero Barolos. I have zero Brunellos.
Or I'm growing a Barolo collection, but it's like, I'm a novice with it. I don't know what I'm doing. Let me say it again. I don't know what I'm doing. Let me say it again. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's,
but
it's complicated.
You try to make educated purchases because it's something you're not going to drink it tomorrow. So mm-hmm. It's not like you can go, I'm going to buy a $42 Barolo, drink it tomorrow, and then go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and buy 20 more of those and age them. That's not how it
no
works.
And you and Barolos are a little bit more, you got to know the producer.
And they're not cheap.
Well, they're not cheap, and let's be frank.
For my price.
I don't know that the money has been invested in Barolos and Barbarescos and Brunellos. You know, that's not really where the money is. Those aren't the flashy wines, right?
They're not, but
because the money is in the Bordeaux style blends. I mean, look what's pulling the money in on wine.com and getting the scores. There are either Sangiovese based, so Super Tuscans,
mm-hmm.
or they're Bordeaux style blends, Super Tuscans. They're all IGT stuff.
Yes.
So a lot of the and Chiantes. After that, people aren't really in America buying Barolos. I'm sure there are Barolo fans, whatnot, but they aren't. Barbarescos, Brunellos, they're not doing that.
No, but when you talk to foodies and people that are in restaurant, in the industry,
they say that, but they don't buy them.
Barolos are a thing.
But they don't buy them,
Scott. I remember.
People are full of shit.
There was an
old, I bet if you ask half of them what grape is in Barolo, they wouldn't know.
Easy.
They wouldn't.
Sangiovese?
No.
Watching
a grape that I consider to be a lesser grape.
Jamie Oliver series called Jamie at Home. And there was a Christmas episode, a couple of Christmas episodes. And at the end of one, they're at a little campfire, and it's just Jamie and his mentor. And the mentor, they exchange Christmas presents. And he says, yeah, it's a good book, a bottle of Barolo. And he's like, hey, you get me that last year. He's like, yeah, every year I get you a good book and a bottle of Barolo. And it's just because that's what Jamie's into. He likes Barolo.
So. Oh, he's full of shit. It sounds good, so that's why.
I think he has the opportunity to drink whatever the fuck he wants.
It sounds good, Scott. That's why.
And also, his mentor is old school Italian.
Whatever. I think it sounds good. It just, I love Barolos. What's in Barolo, Dick? They don't know. They don't. Because you can buy other versions, cheaper stuff. They really mimic the cheap Barolos. I mean, you know, if you're going to spend $150 on a Barolo, fine. That's fine. If you're going to buy Gaja, great. That's fine. You wasted your money, but you could do
easy.
It. Those are great wines, Scott. Yeah. But they're not $500 good.
Well, there's that.
I mean, they're not. But
you can spend that much.
You can, but you should have spent it on French.
I think it's harder to spend $500 on Barolo. I think it's easier to spend more than $100 to $200. But
if it isn't French, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm French centric. Okay, I just like French wine better. I just do. That's just the way I am. Yes. I like French wine. I like things that are cab based.
You're just mad that you don't get to kiss that way anymore.
I that's where I'm at. I don't really love Nebbiolo. I love Nebbiolo, a cheap Nebbiolo, right? I mean, Lahe or whatever that stuff is. I mean, that's fine. That can be fun. I like Barbera, but that's really not, you know. But, you know, I like a Montepulciano de Abruzzo. I love that stuff.
The more, though, and Frank exposes, we have a local restaurateur who prides himself in entry price level wine. You can get a great bottle of wine for a really reasonable price, sometimes less than you spend on your meal. And nobody has that anymore. But he's always got a wine of the month, but he's exposed me to the joy of classic wine producers from Italy making wine with just indigenous Italian grapes that are really good, typically lighter bodied, similar to a French style, that they're going to be a much significantly lighter red wine. But they're full of flavor, easy to drink. And sometimes you're surprised you pull out some minerality, you pull out some different fruit things going on. Typically dry, not always though, not always. And I just really enjoyed going down that Italian wine journey. And someday you're going to be glad that I'm aging all these Barolos, buddy. Realistically, it's going to be me and you drinking them. Princess loves Italian wines
too. Well, I think you might be right, though.
Oh, you'll definitely be like, well, I'm glad you aged this one.
Well, I mean, if it's aged properly, I mean, that's the main thing.
I don't think they're the most persnickety. I think they'll do just as well as anything else between the two of us were aging.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we are going to have, it's March Madness.
Oh, Lord.
You know? And so what we're going to have is a March Madness of varietals. Now, what I have done to kind of narrow things down, all right, there's lots of varietals out there, and I just was thinking off the top of my head. We're going to have groups of three, and we're going to pick the winner out of the three. Well, we can do two. You want to do two or three?
How do the brackets line up?
I didn't do
it. Hey, let me look at the list. I'll put the math to it.
What? Here, you look at
that. Do you want to go down to like a Final Four? Or?
That's true, yeah. Scott's going to look at that really quickly, so he understands. And if you want to look at this really quickly too, Scott. Here, this is very important. See this?
Yeah, he's drawn penises again.
I know. No, this is for a while ago, and it went to and fro. I'm supposed to vamp while Scott looks at this, and I mean, I think there are 6 groups. 18, I believe, is how many there are. So you're going to do a bracket?
Well, it would be easier if we had 2 more groups of 3.
Oh, my God. That was so exhausting. You don't know anymore, do you?
Yeah, sure I do.
What's the next ones? I already wrote Zinfandel, dummy. It's on there.
Did you?
Yes. I did. Here we go.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Zin.
Oh, okay.
How about Pinotage? Riesling. There's another one. And something that's fairly known. Gamay. How's that? Scott's taking this too seriously.
Well, we've got one more. We need one more grouping of 3.
Oh, okay. Another grouping of 3. You can't have Zin because I already had Zin. You took that off, right?
Yeah.
Then Viognier. Semillon. And Malbec. How's that?
Okay. All right.
All right.
So we've got three group pairings.
Yes.
And we're at the Elite A stage.
Well, whatever.
Okay. We're going to start with...
the first three.
Nebbiolo.
Nebbiolo.
Cab Sauvignon.
Yep.
And Albarino.
Albarino. Out of that group, I think Cabernet would be the superior of the three. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
No, I'll go Nebbiolo.
Well, you'd be wrong, because you're just doing it to be contrarian.
No, I think we'd have to go Cab Sauvignon. Now, what?
Yeah.
I think the difference between a Nebbiolo and a Cabernet Sauvignon, I think the greatness of the grape, it's produced everywhere.
It is.
Different qualities. It's the example you gave of if you drink a domestic cab, you should try this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I think...
it's the most historic red grape that exists.
I think also... my friend should argue Pinot. I think also...
they'd also argue Cabernet, too.
I think it has flexibility that you can make it at budget prices.
Yeah.
For drink now purposes. It's ageable. Or Nebbiolo, I think...
ends with an O and does have an A. But it just... Nebbiolo.
It's not as widespread of a grape.
No.
I think there are some good budget entry price Nebbiolos, but...
do you want to drink them?
I don't know about that, truthfully. No. I just think
you
for,
made that up. Yeah.
It is what it is. And Albarino... no.
No, I like Albarino.
I know you do.
But no.
You like it better than Cab?
No.
Yeah, I think you do.
No, Albarino is a Spanish white.
I think you do.
It has a wonderfully oily mouthfeel.
And fantastic.
Kind of like Petit Mansing. That's another one. That's nice. But that was too rare to put on the list.
I think Albarino's better over than a Petit Mansing because it's just a varietal that
you can... nobody makes Petit Mansing.
Well, but it's also, it's like Petit Mansing, it's like you better be good at making wine, otherwise you're going to have to trash on like your hand.
You made a fucking Petit Mansing. What the hell?
Did you not forget the step on how to turn this into vinegar? Because that's what it should be.
Well, New World Wine Company would make it into vinegar. Okay. What's the next pairing?
Barbera. Merlot.
Mm.
Sangiovese. This is kind of a little tough. This is a little tough.
That's, well, Barbera, I like Barbera, but
it's
really.
It's very isolated, very small really? Production, not as much grown.
No.
Sangiovese, again, it kind of meets the category with Cabernet Sauvignon. It's just so widespread, but really it's an Italian-produced grape, but man, they make a lot of it.
They make a lot of it, and it's a lot of different areas.
And it's a lot of different things.
It is.
And when they make it.
But they also make Merlot.
Component of Super Tuscans.
Yes, it is.
Chianti. It is. You can just tell.
It's one of the great wines of Bordeaux. It's popular in the New World.
It really does different things in different climates and different geographies and different topographies and different soils.
Yeah.
Sangiovese is a great grape. I think
we got to go Merlot, though.
But see, you don't like Merlot.
I like Merlot. It's just...
you'd like...
it isn't the grape I like Merlot the best, but it's...
I think it, outside of a Bordeaux blend, I don't think you're buying Merlot.
I own just straight Merlots. They're in there.
Yeah. So, or were you more likely to have Sangiovese? You're out at a restaurant. You're more likely to have Merlot or Sangiovese?
From Italy?
You're out at a restaurant.
Okay.
50 times in the next 3 years.
Okay.
You're going to order a Merlot or you're going to order a Sangiovese?
From Italy?
It doesn't matter where.
It matters because I would order an Italian Merlot before I would order a Sangiovese.
You're not going to be able to order an Italian Merlot.
Why not?
So let's be
realistic. Why could I do that? There's tons of Italian Merlots.
Where are you going to order that?
Scally's.
He actually doesn't have a lot of Italian Merlots.
We should.
I doubt that he has a single one on his menu right now. Okay. You're out at a restaurant.
Okay.
Ordering what they have off the menu.
Okay.
You're going to order a Sangiovese or Merlot?
Merlot.
Sure you are.
No.
You go to Wings, you're going to order Merlot? That's what my mom has.
No.
Or you going to order CMS, which is actually
Merlot.
Quite good.
That's Cab, Merlot, and Syrah.
It's a blend.
Yeah, but it's Cab, Merlot, Syrah. There's no Sangiovese.
If they have a Sangiovese, you're going to order that.
But no, but you just said if I'd order CMS, and I'd say, yes, I'd order
and
CMS.
And I said outside of a blend. It's blend's not in this picture here. I'm making the rules of this game now.
You don't even have rules. I would order the Merlot. And I would enjoy it.
Fucking liar.
Yummy.
You're gonna go to Roosters.
Yeah, but we're talking
You're gonna
about...
go to Roosters, you're gonna get Sangiovese or you're gonna get
I'm not fucking Merlot. Drinking wine with my fucking
Which
wings.
Would you pick?
Neither.
Which would you pick?
Budweiser.
You'd pick Sangiovese.
I would not. What Sangiovese are we talking about? Gabbiano?
You know what they are.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's little mini bottles. You're gonna order Merlot or you're gonna order Sangiovese?
They're not gonna have Sangiovese in mini bottles.
Chianti.
They're both bad. I think they both taste about the same. I'm going to stick with Merlot because I like Pride Merlot.
I'm trumping you. Merlot wins.
Merlot wins, yes. And right now I'm writing them down for seeding. So that's what we're doing.
No, there's no seeding. It's still under the bracket.
What's the next? What's the next three?
I'm trumping you. I don't agree with you that you'd order Merlot. Chardonnay.
Monastrell.
Tempranillo.
Okay, that's a tough bracket because our favorite would be Monastrell, right?
It's Monastrell slash Mourvèdre. Right?
But from a worldwide impact standpoint, the winner would be Chardonnay. But
that's not what we're going to go with because we're going to go with Tempranillo.
Tempranillo,
actually.
Yeah, we're going to go Tempranillo.
We're going to go Tempranillo because Tempranillo wins. I think for the similar reasons that Cab wins, overall, it's just...
No. Tempranillo wins because, yes... We like Monastrell the best of the three, but we also know that Chardonnay has the strongest international presence and is the most famous. But in the group, the one that is the second place with that in that category that we also like is Tempranillo, so that's why it wins.
I like the flexibility of Tempranillo. I like how it can be so many different things.
Can be.
It's tannic, ageable.
It is ageable.
High quality. You will be hard-pressed to off-the-shelf order just a price point wine under $15 and you say, I want Tempranillo.
Well,
I think you'll win more than with any varietal in the world.
I just had this week, I opened a bottle of Numathia Termes there, and that's the cheaper stuff, the 2014. And it was glorious.
Less than $30.
Less than $30. I probably bought it for $19, actually. Then I vacuumed in it 2 days later. Still glorious. And it's a wine that the fruit, anyone would drink that. Anyone would drink it. It's mother's milk. Good Tempranillo is mother's milk.
You can have some that
then
are...
Then again, good Sangiovese is mother's milk.
Oh, no. Merlot's mother's milk, Rob Dern, not Sangiovese.
Man.
No.
I thought you liked Fry Carano.
You're a bad man.
I thought that you liked Pride.
I did love Pride. Fantastic. I just got to pick Sangiovese.
Oh, you like Franzac.
So we're going with Tempranillo.
Mm-hmm. What's the next grouping? I'm actually going to...
I'm
going to seed these, by the way. Cab's number one. Hey, get down.
Sauvignon Blanc. Syrah.
Ooh.
Zinfandel.
Ooh.
It's close because the same guidelines for Cab Sauvignon... You can really apply them to Sauvignon Blanc.
Can you? You could apply them, I think, more to Syrah because of Cote d'Aron, because Sauvignon Blanc isn't really... I mean, they don't have that big of a... I mean...
Sauvignon Blanc's made everywhere.
Well, they all, it is, but it
and,
isn't
and
necessarily...
It can be different things based on the region.
But it isn't necessarily the... It's not beloved. You know?
Some people it is.
How many people do you know that is a Sauvignon Blanc only drinker? And what mental illness are they suffering from?
Well, there's plenty of young ladies who like white wine, and they go to Sauvignon
Blanc.
That's
not what they're drinking. They're drinking Kindle, or they're drinking freaking Kim Crawford.
No, not. There's nothing wrong drinking Kim Crawford. I push back on that, sir.
Something wrong.
I push back on Kim Crawford. Particularly once you show Sauvignon Blanc drinker just a little higher quality Sauvignon Blanc, that they lose their mind. They just do. Show a Sauvignon Blanc drinker just Arturli. This is freaking great
Sauvignon They should be Blanc. Drinking the Babbage, then they would realize Babbage. They don't like Sauvignon Blanc, because that's what Sauvignon Blanc tastes like.
Love Blanc. Show them higher quality. Show them a good French Sauvignon Blanc. Good luck finding
it. And they won't like it. Show them Cloudy Bay, because that's what Sauvignon Blanc is. But
I'm going, you know where I'm going. I'm not Zinfandel? Going Syrah. I'm going Zinfandel because of the...
But I'll slow you down here. I agree that for what we like, but for international impact, Syrah has a bigger impact.
Okay, maybe, sure.
Not maybe, it does.
I don't even know that internationally there's as much Syrah grown as there is Zinfandel. But
well, sure there is.
Okay, sure.
Well, yeah, I think Syrah wins, man.
I don't think so. I think it does. I'm going Zin. Here's my argument.
But unfortunately, I overrule you, because I edit the show, and you're going
to
say,
I love Sauvignon Blanc the best. I wish it was in a rosé and sweet and made of sugar. That's what you'll say.
No, I'm saying Zen.
My name is Scott.
Because it can be so
I know
much.
But
a chameleon.
That's
based
fine.
On the geography, the
but,
topography.
But somebody,
it can be
but Scott,
big bastard. It can be
take it beyond
and
you. Take it beyond. It's not about you.
Okay.
This somebody
is about
that
me.
No.
This is about me.
Somebody that's in some sort of little village in Spain. They don't drink Zen. They don't.
They don't have access to it.
But they don't want it. They drink Syrah.
No, they wouldn't.
They're Spanish Syrah.
In Spain?
They're Spanish Syrah.
They're going to drink Tempranillo. They're going to drink Monastrell.
They might drink Syrah. What about they might drink Grenache?
Yeah, they might drink Grenache. Because
maybe it's a
they,
field blend.
They don't drink
Syrah. I think
Syrah.
We got to go Syrah, Scott.
No, I think you're wrong.
Well, we're doing Syrah.
No, false. You even said it yourself. The novice wouldn't drink this.
So? Although I was proven wrong because you're drinking it. What's the next three?
Oh, Lord.
What's the next
three? Syrah is not above
Syrah,
Zinfandel.
Well, I didn't. In our book, I would agree, but.
It's our book. Whose game
our
is
book.
This? Whose
I,
game
you know
is
what, though?
This?
I like Syrah better than Zin. Oh, so there we go.
I'm going back. Sangiovese is better than Merlot.
It's not. But go ahead.
Far superior than Merlot.
It's not. So what's the next group?
Cab Franc, Petit Syrah, and Grüner Veltliner.
As you can tell, folks, Cab Franc, Petit Syrah, and Grüner Veltliner. I mean, I'll let you pick whatever one of these you want.
Zinfandel.
No, you want to switch things around and put Zin in this group?
No.
You can do that. I mean, it's arbitrary if you want to put Zin in this group and put, you know, Boo Boo in some other group. It's fair.
You pick Cab Franc.
Don't want to pick Cab Franc.
Do you want to pick Petit Syrah? I know you
don't.
I don't want to
do.
Petit
no,
Syrah.
I'm not doing that.
What's Grüner Veltliner?
You want to do Grüner? I'll do it. I'll do Grüner.
It's got such worldwide appeal.
It doesn't.
It's
but
got
it's
such
good.
Worldwide appeal.
I've never had a bad Grüner Veltliner, depending on no matter how much it costs. It was cheaper or expensive. So we'll go with Grüner. It's gonna not get a good seed in the final tournament.
That's one of my favorites. I just love it. We recently went on a Carlisle bandwagon, and they produce it.
A great one.
Oh, Lord. It's fucking great. It's there are limited producers that make white wines, and I'm a red wine drinker. Freaking love.
Yeah, but Grüner is one of these wines that can grab a hold of you, similar to a good red wine the way it does. And it's Austrian. And like a Domaine Wachau, Nigel. These producers, these things have so much presence on your palate. It doesn't matter if it's white or red. It really does kind of engross you and bring you in. And
they've got so much texture to them that they come across as a fucking full-bodied wine.
It doesn't. Sometimes, even if you're a red wine drinker, great white wines still are captivating. And they're like, woof.
Grüner Veltliner
is captivating. We just had the Sonoma Couture. I mean, shit. It was really good, the Sonoma County.
We really super enjoyed
it. It was really good. It captivated us a little bit.
Great wines are great wines are great wines.
It is. It is.
Grüner Veltliner is a great varietal.
And it's easy to... And it's an easy wine that if you love red wine, you try a good Gruner, you're like, oh, so what are these other white wines that we... And so, yeah. Actually, I think next week, Scott, we have an aged man of war we're going to do on the show. Aged.
Oh, a white wine, I'm taking it.
It's an aged.
A Sancerre?
No. It doesn't... You know what? You know the big thing about Sancerre, what it smells like?
Mm.
Cat piss.
Yeah.
No. It's your favorite country that you really thought in the 30s and the 40s they had a great idea.
So are you saying that I'm a Nazi and it's German?
It's German. Very German.
What German white wine are we going to have?
It is a John Jos Prum. I think it's an Ausleis, I believe.
Okay.
From 1998 or 2000.
Again, an Ausleis. Ausleis should have a bigger texture, oilier texture.
They all are. It's going to be a thing to try it. Because I had two this age. I've done one maybe a year ago. It was something else. It was something else to actually. It had to be decanted. But. It's something else. You'll be surprised by a very old Riesling.
Next up,
yeah,
in the wine vault, March Madness.
Yes,
Petit Verdot.
Oh,
Grenache.
Eh.
Pinot Noir.
Well, out of that grouping, Pinot Noir, but I do respect Grenache.
But you love Petit Verdot.
I used to. Don't anymore.
Oh Lord,
I had too many bad ones. Too many fly-by-night fuckers.
Not on this show, we haven't. Nah. The Petit Verdots we've done on the show have been great.
Yeah.
When did you have a bad Petit Verdot experience recently? Ones. When was this? Not since you pronounced your love for it.
I used to just see McManus was good. I mean, it's undervalued, but it's not good.
It's good.
It's not good.
It wasn't our favorite of the McManus, but it was good. It's freaking $8.
Well, it's worth every penny.
It was $8.
It was a little more than that, but it says it was 13 or 12 or no, what was it? $10.99.
So it's
not Petit Verdot,
but Grenache, Pinot Noir, they both have things that make them not as approachable to the masses. A proper Pinot Noir, non-Miami, should have that funky thing, that barnyard thing that some people just aren't going to like, you know?
But we will. But Grenache can do the same thing.
Grenache can do the same thing, except in a bolder, brusquer, more rustic fashion.
It tastes like feet, yes.
I think we're going to go Grenache because that's what
we're not going to go Grenache. We're going to go Pinot Noir because I prefer Pinot Noir over Grenache.
Oh, that's stupid. You don't.
I do.
When? Since when?
Since now. I mean, it's a better grape. It's more significant also historically, too. You can't say. I mean, it's the grape of Burgundy, Scott. We already cast Chardonnay aside. We can't do that with Pinot Noir.
Welcome to the Wine Vault, where we...
No, no war.
Highlight expensive-ass Burgundian wines that nobody can drink. Budget and entry price wines good Grenache.
On Wednesday nights, I do that by myself.
You do a lot of things by yourself. Yes, I know. Wednesday nights.
Yes. I pretend to drink the Pinot. Anyway, so what's the next grouping?
I'm the Pinot file. I'm working on a French accent so that I can drink expensive Burgundians.
What's your next ones?
Pinotage.
Okay.
Riesling.
All right.
And Gamay.
Not the strongest of groupings.
Well, these are straight from your mind.
I, once again, am going to allow you to pick whichever one you want. Probably Riesling has the most worldwide impact, but our favorite out of the group, well, my favorite out of the group is Gamay, but, you know.
I think I also have to go with Gamay here. I think Riesling has some mass appeal.
You know, if you're going Gamay here,
it can be dry. It can be more, you know, of a sweeter wine. It can take on a little bit of the profile, the geography, a little bit of the sandy and soil.
It can be very dry. You know what? If we're going Gamay here,
however,
I am actually going to then switch it back to Grenache and take out Pinot Noir. Because we are representing Burgundy, and quite frankly, I think the most value-driven, reasonable part of Burgundy. With Gamay.
This is like a VAR review? What the fuck is this?
It's just what I did. I can do that.
You're dumb.
Wait, fuck you.
It's like Pinot Noir.
No. If we're going to go Gamay, that's fine. It represents, quite frankly, the reasonable side of Burgundy.
But instead, I'm going to go with Pinotage because that's freaking awesome.
No, we're going Gamay. Gamay is better. And nobody likes Pinot.
But Gamay, we've had Beaujolais. We've had more heartier Gamays.
We have had stuff from Loire, the Sparkler, which I still have a bottle of.
Fucking Sparkler was amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's... In terms of unique Sparklers, that's the best one I've ever had. It was just...
Yeah.
Fucking delicious. No.
It's the most interesting thing that I've seen, yeah.
It's honestly, it's one of the most interesting wines we've ever done on the show because we were also surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we all, our faces just lit up by this Gamay-based sparkler that had like 8% alcohol in it or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But the fruity flavors had blueberry in it. It tasted of blueberry. It was freaking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The last category list for our March Madness here on the Wine Vault. Vignier, Semillon, and Malbec.
Vignier, Semillon, and Malbec?
Yeah, you did this.
Well, I, you know.
It's two, not, I wouldn't say obscure
white Zinfandel
varietals.
Zinfandel.
But, you know, they're not these large volume produced grapes. Malbec's got that. I like it.
You don't like Malbec.
I drink Argentinian Malbecs.
It's you like, don't like Malbecs.
I just, it's not my thing unless it's really, 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 really well done. That varietal just doesn't do it for me. I appreciate Malbecs in French blends. They're domestically produced. I haven't really met the domestically produced Malbec that I like. And I think it's not simply about personal preference. They're not well done always.
Malbecs?
They're not well done always.
Well, that's. I mean, are you going to argue that? I mean, that's fair.
I'm leaning towards Viognier because it's more the more flexible of the two between Semillon and Viognier. But we probably should go Malbec, but my heart can't do it. I can't do it. If you want to go that way, then
We have to go that way. I understand Scott's emotion towards it, but it has to be Malbec by, you know. But it's not, we don't love it. But if it was a different white, that would make sense.
It doesn't. We've had probably 4 Viogniers on the show, maybe 3. They were all better than any Malbec we ever had on the show.
Well, we had that one that you brought back from wherever it was, and that was terrible.
The Viognier or the Malbec?
It was that stuff from Southern California. San Diego.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible. That Viognier was not.
Well, regardless, folks.
It wasn't terrible.
We have.
It was better than most of the Malbecs we've had on the show.
True.
The worst Viognier had at least 10 Malbec partners that it was better than.
True. Well, what I've done is I produced a bracket for the remaining ones. So we can go through this pretty quickly. Number one seed, I said, was Cabernet. And that's I paired it up against Grüner Veltliner.
What seeding you're pronouncing who the winner is?
No. Number two seed, I said Merlot, but it's up against... Oh. It's up against Gamay. It's up against Gamay. Then, three, Tempranillo, up against Grenache, which is, you know, pretty... Then four, Syrah versus Malbec. All right? So, Cabernet versus Grüner Veltliner. Don't be a contrarian.
Grüner Veltliner.
No, that's not what you mean. Don't be.
It's, no, I mean it.
It's Cabernet.
I do have more bottles of Cab in my cellar.
Yeah, uh-huh.
By far. But I do have a growing number of Grunerwald liners.
Yes.
It's just not as ageable. It's not as collectible.
Merlot and Gamay.
Gamay. Contrarian. You didn't say I couldn't be contrarian. Fine, go Merlot.
No, I wrote down Gamay. You know what? I'm going to say.
Should have been Sangiovese.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this about Merlot. First of all, there are always upsets in the tournament. But Gamay should be more popular than it is.
You really like Gamay.
I do.
You were buying Gamays there for a little while and convinced me to buy a couple.
I buy Gamays because it makes me feel fancy when I drink them. I enjoy them. I will drink a whole bottle of good Gamay, like a Morgon. Oh my God, a Moulin d'Event.
Particularly the Morgons are very approachable, young. Set them back for a year.
But they're also rich. They're really nice. Oh, they're like, I mean,
they're not expensive.
No, they're under 30. And they're very much reminiscent. It's great elements of Pinot, but also elements of some sort of fleshy Malbec that are, it's just,
there's plenty of people that love Beaujolais, which is, young, early pick, Gamay.
Yeah.
If you drink Beaujolais, you should investigate, find a local wine shop that carries Morgon.
Oh, yeah.
You'll love it. Mm-hmm. You'll love it. We did one on the, what was the one we did on the show? Oh, was it a Morgon? It was a Gamay. Was it a Morgon or was it the other?
It's been too long, but we did. Yeah.
Right. And it was, it changed my mind on it. Oh. You were like, Scott, you like Beaujolais. And early in my red wine life, I did drink Beaujolais because it was easy, it was approachable. I was drinking it with other people and they would like it. So an upset. Gamay takes Merlot in the second round.
I know. Next, Tempranillo versus Grenache.
God, this is tougher for me. I know, Ellie. It's a tough call.
I started a fight with Ellie just because.
Well, you started a fight because you paired Grenache with Tempranillo, two grapes we freaking love.
You're a piece of meat.
I think I think we have to go Tempranillo because we've been talking about it as single varietals and not as their presence in a blend. But I love a good, strong French Grenache-based blend. Just a GSM or... Oh, it's tough, though, because we've had a couple little...
But no, you're right. I mean, you're right where you were going because, yes, Grenache often is a blend grape.
And we're taking it on its merits alone, but then...
Mm-hmm. Rarely do you see...
Then there's... Clarendon Hills.
Oh, that's one producer, and they don't. And it's not even as good as it used to be. So, no, I think Tempranillo is probably the winner between those two. And then we move back to Syrah versus Malbec.
I'm going Malbec because you know
you're a douche because
Syrah
you
got by in the first round.
You want Zin
on a horrible call by the officials. There might have been a controversy from the league officials getting their way and impacting the officiating in a way that allowed Syrah to advance when they really, folks, they probably shouldn't have.
Unfortunately, so
I'm going Malbec.
Unfortunately, the league then re-reviewed everything and they awarded it to Syrah. So, in the final four, we have Cabernet Tempranillo versus each other. Then the stronger side, apparently, Gamay versus Syrah. Scott, Gamay versus Syrah.
Gamay.
I'm going to agree with you. Gamay.
Fuck Syrah. Cheating bastards. It's like, they're videotaping the other team's sidelines.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible.
The
head winemaker resigned and went to work for another wine company because of more money and more prestige. No. Fuck Syrah. I'm going Gamay.
And Cabernet and Tempranillo.
Easiest choice of the night. I got to go Tempranillo.
No, it's Cabernet, but that's all right.
What?
You were overruled. You're a man of no integrity. And Cabernet versus Gamay. Cabernet wins, folks. Why? Because this has gone on too long.
It's because the wine guy decided when he seeded the wines after win? The first eight.
Cabernet.
Anything else gone? Zin could have won a few to...
We never even made it in the tournament, dickhead.
Yeah, that's because it's...
It didn't get past the play-in.
Garishness.
I'm so sorry. It is
horrible conspiracy.
Loser is what it was. You're just so upset about Zin. That was the point of the whole thing. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the Pierre Gerard Saint Joseph Syrah from Northern Rhone in France. Scott, what is your numerical score?
Really enjoy this wine.
Yes.
I think it's highly drinkable. I think if you like American Syrahs, find a Saint Joseph. If you can find this Pierre Gerard, God bless you. I think you'll love it.
Yeah, and it's a little bit cheaper than everything else. Tip of the cap to Pierre Gerard for selling something that's really nice at a lower price. I mean, that's fantastic.
What could make this wine better? I think the oak is almost like, it has a nice long finish, but it's really not oakiest thing.
I taste the oak on the finish, and we never really talked about it, but it's all used oak, and it's just there. It's just a little bit of a framing element.
I think honestly, it could use a little more oaking to it. That would highlight the wine even more. Mm. I'm at 88.
88?
I'm at 88 of my points.
What's wrong with you? 88?
Not high enough for you. I'm taking it.
Oh, well, the Russian theme song has not come out for a while, but it's out right now.
I really enjoy the wine. There's nothing wrong with an 88.
You gave a fucking 90. What the hell did you have fucking last week? What the hell did you give that 90 to? It's like, what? I don't even know what the hell it was. ED, you gave it to the erectile dysfunction wine. I give this wine 90 of my points.
I don't know. You're it's lovely. French snob.
It has lovely complexity. It's a well, it is. Scott, there's a lot going on in this wine. We didn't really break it down because you wouldn't talk about Komodo dragons, but.
No, I enjoyed the subtle complexity to the wine. It's not
a 92, but I love the expression of the plum. I love the black pepper. I love the nose. This is a very, very good wine of strong offering at a reasonable price for this AOC.
The combination of the finish and the oaking is what kept me from giving a score that I would start with.
I don't want a ton of oaking, though. I just don't. I don't want things to be over-oaked. And often we rely too much on oak. They're relying on the terroir and the grape stock, and that comes through nicely. Oaking there is just an element that you have to have, and it does its job, right?
It does do its job. That's why I'm not knocking points off of it. I'm at where I'm at. But 88 to 90 is a great range.
Don't you try to take co-op my 90. You stay at your 88.
That's what you did with my ED.
You're still upset about Zin being knocked off and being gone.
Not at all.
There you are.
No, no, no. Yeah. Nope. There you are. Glad that Gamay knocked off Merlot, that's all.
Well,
and Syrah, actually.
Cab won everything.
It's not even your favorite varietal.
Cabernet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's my favorite varietal.
Oh, Lord.
You know what your favorite varietal is?
I drink a lot of Zin.
White Zin.
Well.
You're like, is it bubbly?
That's not a varietal. That's a type of wine.
Yeah, and you don't know that. So then.
Oh, I don't know that, but you just said it.
I don't think you know.
What's your favorite varietal? What Zin? It's not a varietal.
That's why I had to name them all, because we were sitting here for 50 years, you trying to look up and taking off your shoes to count your fingers and toes to figure out
something. No, to snip my left toenail needs trim. That's big toenail.
It probably does. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.